Hello, and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
I do want to say just a special thank you to the church on this day for the pastor appreciation. It's just an honor to be your pastor. It's an honor to stand before you each week and try to open the scriptures and try to point us a little bit more closer to Jesus. It's an honor for me to walk alongside you and to serve in this community, in our families, fighting for our own freedom in our hearts, in our marriages, in our families. And I don't take it lightly. It's a pretty heavy but fun task that the Lord has called us to. I'm thankful for Scott doing the same thing, fighting for our kids, for young people today in this generation that they're faced with. What a monster of a job. And just thankful that somebody would be willing to say, here I am, to use me. To love up our kids and the next generation that's coming. And just grateful for Andrew being a part of our family here. To have a pastoral call to do what you do is pretty neat to see. And I know that I felt it at a young age. Andrew feels it at a young age. And he's just been a blessing to our church family. And we've just got a good thing happening here, Fairmount. It's good. And it's just good. And thankful for it. Also, what we do is supported and undergirded by every one of you that's here, and so many people that either lead committees or you serve on a committee. We don't want to get this confused that this is a one-man show or a three-man show. This is about a 150-man show to pull all of this off. There's an amazing crew in the basement right now putting a meal together that do awesome for weddings and funerals and church events and things like that. You can smell it coming up from the floor, so I'm going to move quickly before I lose the crowd. There's plenty of food. All right. We never are in a lack of food, so everybody join us, whether you brought something or not. Just my heart this morning, though, is just full of gratitude. So thank you, everybody that serves. Thank you, everybody that does anything that you do for the betterment of this church. It happens because of all of us together. Let's dive in here. We're going to wrap up our series that we've been doing on community and friendship and having life-giving relationships. A couple of the resources that I have used for this is neuroscientist Caroline Leaf. She is a neuroscience study of the brain of how it works, and we have been programmed and wired for relationship, and we have been wired for love, and so we are built for love. And yet many times what we fear from relationships that we're going into is we feel fear, we feel abandonment or rejection, and so the brain starts kind of reacting in different ways, saying, whoa, I wasn't created to have interaction like this. And so what's going on, and how were we built, and how do we then connect with people? Also, another tremendous resource has been Pastor T.D. Jakes, and he has 3 points that he shares on. There's 3 different types of people that we can connect to, and so I want to kind of talk on those 3 different types of people. And so hopefully you see how these people interact in your own life and how it has happened in maybe your community, or you're like, wow, I can identify relationships that move in and out of my life based upon this. Last week we were in John chapter 15, and if you would flip there with me, and also we're going to go John chapter 15 is in the New Testament. We got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. And then also, if you would flip with me to 2 Samuel chapter 23. We're going to see what Jesus had told us, how we ought to love, and then we're going to see how maybe this looks like fleshed out in the life of King David. King Jesus and King David are 2 good resources for us to glean from today, and that's who we're going to dive into here now. First of all, we see, in Jesus' life as well as King David's life. The number first group, it seems like, that we have to engage with here, let me try to get here, is number one, there is a crowd. Jesus had the multitudes, and David had a crowd of people around him, and there were people that were coming in because they just wanted to see what Jesus was going to do. They wanted to see what Jesus had to offer. We want to listen to the man, and many times we've just got a lot of people around us in our lives. Can anybody say amen to that? You're like, there's just a lot of people on this planet. And there's just a lot of people that are either in your work life, in your family life, in your social life, in your church family. There's a lot of people. There's a crowd of people that we have to deal with. In John chapter 15 and in verse number 9, it starts like this. It says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." That's a pretty heavy statement. Perfect, unbelievable love. "Now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and I remained in his love. And I have told you all of this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." So the same way that God loved the Son, Jesus has now loved us. And to the degree that Jesus has loved us, he's laid his life down, he's now calling us to love others. I think Jesus is crazy on that one. Anybody else? Smoking some of that Israeli herb or something. Like, Jesus, what in the world? We're going to love people the same way that you love us? This is asinine. There's no way. There's no way. But yet that's what we're called to do. Verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this. He would lay his life down for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I have commanded. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." What we see happen in the life of King David is King David goes out and he kills this monster of a man. Anybody know his name? The giant? His name was Goliath. All right, yep. Everybody was nodding their head. Nobody wanted to say it. I keep on forgetting we're Quakers and we don't ever talk. But anyway, he kills this man by the name of Goliath. And there was this song, and all of the women would come out of their houses and they would say, "Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands." How many of y'all know whenever the cheerleaders get loud, it starts doing weird things inside of men? When the ladies come fawning, men start shifting and getting weird. It goes all the way back to the garden. As soon as Eve batted her eyes, it was over for us, guys. And so here's what happens is David shows up on the scene. King Saul is the man, and King Saul is reigning and ruling. David has been anointed to become king. And yet he doesn't get king for years. But the crowd comes out and they say, "We love David." And when the crowd shifts, King Saul starts getting weird. King Saul now is on the hunt to kill David. Women start coming around David. Women have an amazing ability to shift some things inside of your heart or inside of your life. Excuse me. With the crowd, I think one thing that is good to remember is, do I just have fans or do I really have friends? And there's a huge difference between a crowd of people that may be around your life, and maybe they're around your life just because they like what you do, but they don't necessarily know who you are. And there's a difference between what I do and truly you know me and that I know you, and there's an exchange of relationship. Say, "Man, I love Oprah." You don't know Oprah. What's Oprah's middle name? Nobody knows. But you love what she does. You're a fan. You're a fan of Oprah, and you're not a friend. Because here's what happens is many times, I like what this person does until they say something that I don't like, and now I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan anymore. I like what you used to do whenever it kind of served me. Are y'all with me? And people think that they're friends because we just kind of all hang out together. We all just kind of come to church together. We all just live in the same community together. We all show up at the same places together. So yeah, we're just kind of friends. Until I do something that you don't necessarily like, and I realize, no, you were just a fan. You just liked what I did, or maybe even how it served you. Please don't leave me up here by myself. it didn't work out for you, and so there's a disconnect in relationship only because it was the crowd. We realize in Jesus' life, Jesus would minister to the multitudes, right? He laid his hands on the 70. He taught the 12, but he only let in the 3, Peter, James, and John. Jesus, as he continued to go deeper into intimacy and relationship, the crowd got smaller, not bigger. And you don't have the luxury to be able to love unlimited like Jesus has loved. So Jesus says, love the way that I have loved you, right? First of all, we've got to ask ourselves, are we an unlimited resource the way that Jesus is an unlimited resource? Jesus, I love that you're the challenge, not even just a challenge, but a command to love others like I have loved you, and realizing in and of myself, I'm limited in what I can do. And so I'll just ask you this. Jesus says, no greater love has a man than this, that he has laid down his life for his friends. Just let me ask you, how much life do you have to lay down for others? Can you lay it down for the crowd? Can you lay it down for every single person? If I only have a gallon of milk, not everybody in here can get a cup. I only have so much that I can give. And so how do I audit the relationships in my life and knowing how much can I give that without laying my life down for everyone doesn't bankrupt me, right? Or my family. And so understanding that maybe you've got relationships in your life and it's the crowd. It's the fans that come out. We like that you killed Goliath. Now he's no longer taunting us. Woo, 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 David. Cheer, raw, cheer, spirit fingers. Yes. The crowd comes out for David. Also, sometimes you see inside the crowd, and they're dressed up as friends, but it's a fan that's more of an opportunist. And they look like a friend, because so far the relationship has really served them. I'm a fan. I like what you do because it just keeps feeding me. And the opportunist is, I just want to get a little bit closer to you because it's going to benefit me in such a way that I just want to position myself correctly. So I just keep on getting more blessing. And it's just being aware, because there's people that start coming around Jesus. There's people that start coming around David, and it could be looking for opportunity to advance. When the going gets tough, do those people hang in there with you? We see that there were people that thought they were disciples of Jesus, and when the going got tough, Jesus is left naked by himself. We see that whenever the going gets tough and Jesus is sweating blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, everybody else is asleep. How do I rally those that are going to be in it with me? Deep heart gush, weep when I weep, laugh when I laugh, dance when I dance, mourn when I mourn. They're in it with you. And there's probably a lot of people that's just the crowd. And whenever you go down, they go out. And realizing, man, who are those that are in it with me? When Jesus says something that they don't like, they don't roll out. There's a time where Jesus is given this message, and he says, if you want to be a part of me, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. You lose fans whenever you say that. Eat your flesh? Yeah, eat me. Drink your blood? We haven't even created Halloween yet, Jesus. This is just weird. Drink your blood? Yeah, eat my flesh, drink my blood, or you've got nothing to do with me. Jesus at this point is ascending in his influence, in his message coming around, and he's starting to declare that he's the king, he's the savior of the world, all of these sorts of things are happening. Peter, who's the campaign manager, says, man, he's just following the script. This is just going great. Man, the fans are coming around. We think we're going to get the popular vote. This is just going so well. Oh, he's going to become the king of Nazareth, the king of Israel. Oh, it's going to be great. And then Jesus goes off script, and he starts freewheeling. And can you imagine Peter standing on stage right? Jesus is reading that flat screen in front of him, teleprompter. They had those then. It was amazing. Edison. Anyway, Jesus is reading the teleprompter and he says, I'm just gonna freewheel it. You gotta eat me and drink me. And Peter's freaking out. No! Women and children, they're like, covering their ears, he just loses the crowd. And here's what happens is they come up, the disciples come up to Jesus afterwards, and they're like, what the heck was that? Like, everybody's leaving you. And Jesus says, does this offend you? Unmoved, Jesus, unmoved. Does this offend you? Are you going to leave me also? Good question. Did I do something that you didn't like? You didn't approve of what I just did right there in your life, and so you're going to roll out? Because you were more of just a fan. You weren't truly all in. Ugh. And Peter, he's left with this thing. And Larry Lee says this. He says, the people who left me couldn't stay. And he said, but the people who stayed couldn't leave. Isn't that good? Oh, that's so good. The people who left me, they just couldn't stay. They couldn't. And the people that stayed, they just couldn't leave. And Peter says, Jesus, to whom shall we go? Where else are we going to go? You're the only one that has the words of life. We're staying because we can't leave. We're connected. And I know you just ticked everybody off. And I know I didn't like that. And I know that you moved me past being a fan and just being a part of the crowd to being, the next point is to being a comrade. It's somebody that's in it for a mission. And we stand and we fight against something and we're fighting for something. No longer are we just kind of a crowd on the outskirts, but now we're going to go into it with you. What we see happens in the life of King David is that David goes into the cave of Adullam. So now King Saul turns against David and David is running for his life. He is out of there. His best friend was Jonathan. And at one point, David is hanging out at Jonathan's house, who is the king's house. He's in the palace. And Saul is so ticked off that he takes a spear and throws it across the table trying to kill David. That's not being a good party host. He does not have the gift of hospitality right there. Trying to kill the person that he invited to dinner. And so David is running for his life, and there's this band of ragtag group of men, just read the scripture, that says they were just kind of the leftovers of society that start rallying around David, and they're in the foxhole with him in the cave of Adullam. And they're in it, and we're going to fight a war with you against the king who's trying to wipe us out. Our very own president is trying, he's attacking us. And I'm anointed to be the next president. Is that crazy? And he builds this comrade of people around him. Jesus had this group of disciples that were a little bit more in with him and say, you know, who are those people that maybe they're just on the crowd, but then there's the comrades that are going to be in it and fighting with me and standing alongside me through it all. Whenever you see this verse here, and where are we at? John chapter 15, and in verse number 13. Greater love has no man than this, than he would lay his life down for his friends. We start to see that some men are going to be willing to lay their lives down for King David, as well as disciples, and 11 out of the 12 disciples did lay their life down for Jesus. They were willing to go a distance that maybe nobody else was willing to go. What is the life that you're giving to people, the amount of life? And I'll tell you, to love the way that Jesus loves is expensive. It costs you time. It costs you money. It costs you thought. It's putting mental sweat into their life to think and to pray about them, to write them cards and to notes. These are people that are in it with me. Right? And the extra time that it takes. Flip with me to 2 Samuel chapter 23. Are y'all there? Check this out. We see some comrades that are willing to go on a mission. I had it written here, but I also want to read it here. Let's start in verse. We see David's mighty men in verse 8. These were the names of David's mighty men. This guy's name, and he raised the spear against 800 men whom he killed in one encounter. That's a bad mamma jamma. Y'all didn't think that the James Bond movies were too far-fetched and real? No, they just pulled it out of the Old Testament. 800 men in one encounter. What we're going to start seeing is as David begins to rise, the people around him start to change. For you to go to a different place, many times your circle has to get different. So many times we're more connected to friends from the past than we are to people of our destiny. I'm friends with you because of our history, not because of our destiny. And David's crowd starts changing the higher that he ascends. And maybe there's some people that have the crab bucket mentality saying, but we know who you are, and you've always been this, and you'll never be more than that. And we continue to pull people back, or they remind us of who we're not. That's always encouraging as a friend. Let me remind you of who you're not, or let me speak some death over your life. David's circle no longer just hanging out with his dad and his brothers with sheep. He's now got the ultimate warrior hanging out with him. This guy who wipes out 800 at one time. Go with me to verse 13. Check this out. There's mighty men. During the harvest time, 3 of the 30 chief warriors came down to David at the cave of Adullam while a band of Philistines were encamped in the valley of Rephaim. At the time, David was in the stronghold and the Philistine garrison was at Bethel. David longed for water and said, "Oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem." So the 3 mighty warriors broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. He refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. "Far be it for me, Lord, to do this," he said. Is it not the blood of men who went to risk of their lives?" David would not drink it. Such were the exploits of the 3 mighty warriors. All of a sudden, we move from women saying, "Hey, David," to warriors busting through enemy lines just to get him a cup of water. And David said, "Who are these guys? This is a different." And he pours it out. Can you imagine? You get back and you're sucking wind and you're sweating and you've got, you know, you've been cut up and lions have been chasing you, and you bring this cup of water and he just dumps it in front of you and you're like, okay. And he says, "Far be it from me to drink the blood of these men because they risk their lives for this." He starts rallying some people. This is a different breed. There's mighty warrior men that start coming around David. Some comrades that are in it with him. God ministers to us through people. We might say, "God, I want you to bless me," or "God, I want more joy." And he does it through people. "God, I want you to alleviate some stress," and he might bring in some great counselors. "God, I just need some encouragement today," and he releases people into your life. And so to constantly just do a good audit of your friendship, saying, "God, I just need those people in this season that are going to speak those words, that are going to be busting through enemy lines, they're going to do whatever it takes, because comrades just aren't in it for me. Comrades are in it for us, because we're all going together somewhere." And the third point here is we move from the crowd, from the comrade, into the confidant. The confidant is Jonathan for David. The confidant is Peter, James, and John for Jesus. The confidant is somebody who you can share confidential information. Jesus talks about intelligence that you can share with your friends. Jesus says in John chapter 15, he says, "No longer do I call you slaves, I now call you friends, because slaves don't know what the master's up to. But as I call you a friend, I'm going to share with you more information. You're going to have intelligence into my life." You ever had a time whenever you share personal things with a public relationship? That doesn't go over too well. I share this personal thing with you, and you're my coworker, because we have this public relationship in our job, and yet somehow it got exposed. I don't like that it got exposed. Why? Because they weren't confidants. They were part of the crowd. We've got to be, Jesus says, I'm really particular in who I start sharing my information with. Abraham, the Bible says, he was a friend of God. Man, if there was one identity I would want to have for Jesus, for God to say, "You are my friend." Did Abraham, did Moses, did these guys not get intel from heaven? not everybody was getting this information. God was depositing inside of them. There's some people that you can share stuff with, and there's some people you cannot. Love you, don't trust you. You're fun to hang out with, don't trust you at all. There's levels that happen here in relationships. In verse 14, it says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I don't call you servants. A servant doesn't know what I'm up to, but a friend knows everything that I've revealed from God. As you look at the relationships in your life, I think it's not just being picky and choosy. I think it's being wise. You're deploying wisdom over your own life and just saying, who are those that I can minister to from a distance? Who are those ones that I know they're going to be there for me to battle and to fight it out? And then there's another level of a confidant, which is like covenantal, which is Jonathan. And what it says about Jonathan that David says is that we were knit in kinship and in friendship. And in one verse it actually says that David tells Jonathan, your love is better than the love of women. And this isn't being a homosexual reference that David and Jonathan had a weird relationship. He says that there's this higher thing of commitment that I'm just not looking to get from what a female can provide. There's something of heaven that's on this relationship that just another person doesn't provide. It's found in this higher level of a confidant. And so this morning, as we've been talking about this week of community and relationships and man, how do I steward my friendships well? Man, I would want for you to encourage you. Maybe there's sometimes some friendships that got to cut back because they're illegally taking from you or pulling from you. They were just fans, but the fandom has died out. Maybe the comrades, those people that are fighting with you, and I love you and I'll go to war with you, but I don't necessarily trust you with the most intimate parts. And then those people that you do, man, I want to pour my guts back into, right? And love the way that Jesus has loved. I will lay my life down for that sort of a friend. We're going to close here this morning in just a minute, if you all would be willing to share a meal with us. One of the things that I think is so great about friends is that we can sit and break bread, that we can have fellowship, that we can laugh and have a good time together. Hopefully, we're more than a crowd. Hopefully, we are at least comrades. And hopefully, you've got people in your life. And that group gets smaller and smaller. Notice the pictures. Massive crowd, and then there's a few runners, and then there's just a couple friends of confidants that you can go through life with. Would you all stand with me as we close in prayer? Jesus, I just thank you for this church family. Lord, I just ask you, God, that we would be a community that is there to go to war with each other, that we can battle for each other, that we can support and encourage one another. Jesus, I pray that you would bring around a couple people to speak life into us, that we can share the most intimate parts of who we are. Jesus, I pray that we would glean from your own life, but we would glean from how you treated your relationships. I pray that we would glean from David's life and how the people began to change as his life began to take on different shapes and forms. Lord, I pray that we'd be hungry to add winning relationships to our lives, life-giving people to our life, that we would hungrily and intensely pursue those relationships, Lord. I just pray a blessing upon this house today in Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.